This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the High Potion Podcast. I'm back. It's me, Steve.
And it's me, Halls. Oh, Steve's back. Buddy, I'll have you know, in the Blue Harvest Discord, there's a little bit of cock-a-doody speculating. Mm-hmm. JP Barf said, Steve Cobra likely just got hammered yesterday with the Packers win.
I mean, he's not wrong.
Yeah, We had to come up with that plan before the Packers even played.
It's true. Like, defense. Yeah, I had a fucking issue, man. Like, so, the Packers are playing. You know, the Cowboys. I'm gonna have people over.
Nacho bar.
Working on my nacho bar. I'm whipping up this from scratch guacamole, and I noticed my internet had been running slow. And so, right before I get in the kitchen, I decide to reset my modem. Mm-hmm. You know. Well, it never actually reconnected.
Oh, God.
And so, I'm on the app with tech support while I'm making food. And they're like, we did everything on our end that, you know, we'll just send somebody out there tomorrow. And I was like, oh, God.
Oh, God. What did end up being wrong with it?
Nothing, as usual. Like, they just, we came home. I had to reset the modem again. It still wasn't working when I walked in the door, but when I reset it again, it worked fine, which is typical for them. They just have an outage or something that they haven't figured out yet.
Right.
And so they're like, we don't know.
I remember.
Is your coaxial cable tight? Huh?
Yeah. Oh, have you tried restarting it? Oh, guys, listen. Okay. Listen, I'm going to be really cool to you. Okay. Don't ask me to restart my shit, because I've already done it three times before. Yeah. I called you. Okay?
Yeah.
I did that first. All right.
You are literally the fucking last resort for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, I do not want to be talking to you any more than you want to be talking to me. Just don't ask me to restart my shit, please.
Exactly, man. Exactly.
Yeah, you know, back when I had cable internet with Spectrum, a handful of times a year, internet would go out and I would call them. I'd be like, hey, my internet's out. And they would be like, restart your shit. Well, I did. Well, can you do it again? Sure. And then they'd be like, yeah, we don't know. I guess we'll have to send somebody out. And then without fail, like an hour and a half, 2 hours later, I'd get an automated phone call that's like, we've detected a outage in your area. We'll let you know when it's back up. I'm like, all right, guys, you couldn't figure that out when I called you damn near 2 hours ago? We got to get you on fiber, buddy.
Yeah, I know. And they have it in my area. Oh. I'm on a contract with Spectrum right
now,
though. Probably about another 2 years.
Fuck. You can see if any of those fiber companies will pay your early termination fees.
Yeah, they probably would. I mean, you know, the rate that I'm paying, I feel like is fair.
Okay.
You know, for what the speed I generally get, there's right. just there's problems every once in a while. You yeah. know, it's not perfect. It's not perfect coverage.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm going to say this with a huge caveat, just because I don't want to jinx it. But since having changed over to fiber internet, I've yet to have an outage.
Nice. That's and pretty sweet.
It's been over a year, I mean, and two different locations. Now, granted, the minute I say that, tomorrow I'm going to be like, what the fuck, when I'm trying to sign in for work and shit.
You know what really sucks anymore is just having to have internet to play any video games, really.
I know.
You know, like, it really sucks. Like, I have a disc copy of Elden Ring that's still sealed in that.
Yeah, but what you're not going to get any of them updates.
Exactly. I mean, you know, it's just like, come on, man.
Yeah, it's doo-doo feces, that whole thing. So, buddy, today we're actually taking a Steve concept for a drive for today's episode. Do you want to explain it to the audience before we get some other things out the way?
Sure will, man. So it's like the concept is get good, as like the Dark Souls community likes to say.
Uh-huh.
But it's just about games that we've been really good at throughout our lives. Like a game where like people are like, what game are you good at? You know, mm-hmm. like, and when I say good, I mean like
gun yeah, to your
not,
head,
not just beating the game. Right.
Yeah. yeah right.
Like,
yeah.
yeah. Then an Alien is like, you're going to have to play a video game for us and do amazing at it in order for us to let your species live. Like, what games would you be able to say throughout the course of your gaming history you'd be able to do that for?
Yeah, yeah, I like that. I like that. Give us a little bit of an opportunity to flex, you know?
A little bit, yeah.
Just a little bit of flexing time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Buddy, so there are a couple things I want to do before we jump into the subject of today's episode.
Of course.
And one of those is, I didn't realize this until I got my computer all booted up to record, but I guess they put out a new Final Fantasy Rebirth trailer today. And shout outs to our buddy Rick Villanueva, because he's the one who posted it in the Blue Harvest Discord. Mm, and I was
nice,
like,
good eye, Rick.
So let's check this out. Well, I don't know that we've ever done this.
No live trailer react.
Yeah, let's see.
I don't think so.
It's only a minute long.
Oh, boy. My man right away. Now that felt like a scene from the first game.
Huh?
That felt like a scene from the first game.
Well, that's that flashback to... Mm-hmm.
That happens early.
Right. Well, so you never see the full flashback in the first game, but it's the flashback. So in Final Fantasy VII... After you leave Midgar, you go to the first little village in the overworld, and Cloud sits everybody down in the inn and sort of does a backstory dump. Remember, you get to play the flashback where Cloud and Sephiroth are going to investigate the reactor at Cloud's old hometown, mm-hmm, his own mm-hmm. hometown. So this scene at the beginning with the fire and shit, that classic Sephiroth being bathed in fire fucking mm-hmm. scene, that's what that's from. You can also tell by the soldier outfit that Cloud is wearing in that scene. That's not his typical outfit.
Nice. I didn't notice the outfit. My eyes always go immediately to Buster Sword.
Yeah, yeah.
What happened to this place?
It was Sephiroth.
It can't be.
He wants to finish what he started and rule over the planet.
You coming?
Way ahead of ya!
We have to help them!
Oh, that's Let's Red get to 13.
Work. You are truly a model soldier.
Demo!
Nope.
Oh, hold up.
No, hold up.
Hold up.
We can nope. handle this. I will reclaim our world.
Man, that shit hits.
Bro, so, okay, for the uninitiated or somebody who doesn't have that super on-the-spectrum fascination with this game that I do, so in this trailer, we see the flashback stuff we talked about. We see Zack and Cloud, you know, coming up on Midgar. And then There's this part. That's in Junon. You remember Junon? Where you had the big parade sequence and you got to like march in time with the rest of the Shinra soldiers. Mm-hmm. I bet you they have like a neat little mini game for that.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah, we get to see like little chunks of all the people you're going to be running with. Some Barrett, some Yuffie, some Tifa.
Oh, Red 13 though. Look at that good guy right there.
Yep.
You think I'm gonna
some Aerith coming.
I'm gonna dress Walter up as Red 13 for Halloween next year.
Oh my God, yes.
He's gonna be like, "What do you think you're doing?" I'm not one of those cats that wears clothes, man. Hojo, some more Hojo shit.
Who was the Yakuza looking dude? Is that the scientist from
that guy?
Yeah,
that's Hojo. Yeah.
Okay. He was in the first game, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So I thought towards the end when you're like.
In the tower, in Shinra Tower. Mm-hmm. Hojo's creepy as fuck.
Dude, it looks great.
Oh, I can't wait. I don't like that one scene, but it also, that one scene makes me feel a little better because they wouldn't put that in the trailer. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right.
If that was Tifa dying in Rebirth, they wouldn't put that in the trailer. Right, Steve?
They better not.
And they best not. They
Haas
bet not.
Like, Haas be like, you know... That when part three comes out, he's like, I don't know.
I think I'm going to get in a Call of Duty.
Just going to pass on out of Final Fantasy.
I get real into Call of Duty.
What a betrayal. You know, speaking of Final Fantasy, I saw a quote from Yoshi P about how he wants the younger generation to take charge
of
the numbered stuff.
Yeah, that makes me a little sad. Only because... Final Fantasy 14 is a fucking masterpiece. 16 was really good. I'd like to see him at least do one more, but like he's also got 14 to focus on for the foreseeable future. So it's not like he's not going to be making Final Fantasy.
Right. I mean, and let's be honest, this is no shade to 16, but 14 makes probably a lot more money.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's got a constant subscription model, right? Mm-hmm. Like,
Plus, there's microtransactions in there for people who don't want to grind, you know.
Well, yeah, and special mounts and shit. They definitely have options for you to spend your fucking hard-earned money besides buying the game and subscribing, you know.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Man. Yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait. I know it's going to be quite a while before we hear about 17, like years, but I can't wait. Get to start that whole fucking cycle over again.
Yeah. I would think you're either going to get it at the end of this generation or it's going to be next gen.
Let's see what the timing was between the last two. Fantasy, I think it's probably next gen if I had to be at. Okay, so 15 came out in 2016, so 7 years.
Yeah, we're definitely in next gen if that's the case.
Yeah, if they take 7 years for the next Final Fantasy, it'll be a next gen game.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
And probably be at the fucking
PlayStation 6.
Yes, launch, like state of play again. Steve's gonna be driving. Let me know if there's anything cool. Okay. Yeah.
When you saw that Final Fantasy 16 trailer for the PlayStation, you were like, bro, you're gonna need to pull over.
You need to pull over now, Steve.
I still remember where I was out somewhere in the sticks of Alabama. I pulled off dirt road. I heard Banjo's playing off in the
boy, distance. What you doing pulled over? Oh, I'm sorry, sir. I'm watching the trailer for Final Fantasy 16 they just announced. Oh shit, is it Yoshi P?
Oh man. Get in, we got some stuff to talk about.
Oh, we gotta talk about something. Diddly ding 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 ding.
That little trailer package of or whatever they showed there was what ultimately sold you on a PlayStation.
Well, I mean, I knew I wanted one at launch if I could swing it. That
of course.
Was the
That kicked it into, I've got to have one.
Yeah, then became, well, I don't have much of a choice. And it didn't. It wasn't even a launch title. It came damn near 2.5 years after it launched. But I said, true. I'm ready. I'm going to be ready.
You did at least get Demon's Souls as a consolation.
Well, and lots of other cool shit, too.
That's right.
You and your buddy that you made on the side of the highway are driving down talking about, oh, man, what you play in Final Fantasy 14? I'm a healer. Oh, that's cool. I played a tank. You won't make out?
Oh, Lord. I got some buddies you should meet.
You want to come back to my place and we'll have a big sweaty man makeout session with me and my buddies?
I've got a clan you can join if you know what I mean.
Uh-huh. Now, listen. We don't have the strongest genes and we just pass them around to each other, so it's a little weird. I'll go ahead and... Why the fuck does it take so long to get into the actual dueling banjos? God damn. What the a Tool intro for dueling banjos? I'm trying to do a bit here, Eric Weisberg. Damn!
Man.
Let's hear a voicemail from Florian. No bits required with that.
Florian's robot, yeah.
Yeah. All
greetings,
right.
Meatbags. Query. If you could activate a cheat code for real life, what would it be? Mockery. Ah, the pursuit of shortcuts in your existence, a truly human aspiration. But remember, even with cheat codes, you still can't escape the inevitability of taxes. Enjoy your God mode while it lasts, Meatbags.
Sorry, I just have to jump in here. Maybe that's the cheat. Have no taxes.
Ah, Master, always attempting to outwit even the most cunning droids. If only such a cheat code existed, the galaxy would be a far more entertaining place, wouldn't it?
I'm definitely not doing this on something so pedantic as taxes. I'll say that right away.
Nah, man. If I get one chance for a cheat code,
right,
unlimited lives. Florian, you constantly give me the power to choose immortality, and I'm going to take that every time, my dude. You know?
Let's say besides immortality, which is, of course, the correct answer.
Yeah, man. Like,
but, like, I mean, the ability to, like, fly would be pretty cool, you know? Like,
but, okay, that would be cool, Steve, but be honest. The fuck am I going to do with the ability to fly? Because I'm going to have to carry my wheelchair with me for whenever I get to my destination, you know? And that ain't all that cool, right? You know, like, oh, I'm going to go fly and see Steve. Let me fucking strap my wheelchair to my back. I'm not going to be out there being a superhero, because what happens when I get there and land? Hold up, Mr. Green Goblin. Let me unfurl my wheelchair.
Yeah, because you could eventually use that to get rich. I was thinking you could also cheat code, like, in SimCity, where you could get, like, $1 million.
Oh, I now
which
that's...
Which back then was, like, an unfathomable amount of money.
Now, I'll tell you right now. Of course, if immortality is off the table, I'm using the money cheat code and retiring and just finally playing all these goddamn video games. People be like, oh, I wish I could win the lottery so I can travel the world. I want to go see Fiji. I want to play Yakuza 4, all right? Okay?
I got to start getting some of this backstory. Jeez.
Jesus, I don't know what's going on. Joryu, Kiryu, what the fuck?
Saijima, Majima, huh?
Huh? Another one that I would use, but it'd have to be in a very specific circumstance and it would require quite a bit of traveling beforehand, would be the tank cheat code from GTA.
That's a great one.
And I would also hope that the fucking... You know, the cheat code allowed me to trick out the tank a little bit. It had, like, a real nice sound system on it.
Mm-hmm. That's so funny that you mentioned that. Like, literally, when people mention cheat codes, that's right what my brain goes to as well. It's the tank from Grand Theft Auto
100%, 3. That's it. 100%, that's it. I remember in Grand Theft Auto Vice City, like, working my ass off to summon the tank. Because, you know, you summon it and immediately get 5 stars.
Mm-hmm.
And then store the tank in my garage at my house, or at one of the houses, right? So I could just have it whenever I wanted. Because also when you went in, do you remember in those older Grand Theft Autos, there would be the little power-ups you could pick up that would drop your heat level and shit?
Mm-hmm.
There was one of those right inside the hideout next to the garage. It took quite a while because they are on you immediately once you cheat and get a tank.
Man. I can't wait for Grand Theft Auto 6.
Oh my God, me neither, buddy.
We'll cheat code up a tank in that one. It'll be pretty fun to see what the difference is in mayhem in this one. I bet it's going to blow our minds.
If I had a cheat code, you know what a cheat code I would use is? Cheat code to fucking cut down on all the time waiting for these damn video games, you know?
Yeah. Open up a rift and slip space.
They'd be like, so hold on. You have one magic cheat code in life you could use, and you used it to play Mass Effect 4 early? Mm-hmm. Yep, that's what I did. That is, in fact, what I did.
There'd be at least a few people out there who'd be like, yeah, totally, I get it. That's Steve, what I would do.
Let me ask you something, buddy. What the fuck? Because you texted me a little bit about this morning, and I still didn't quite get it, so I was kind of hoping you could provide some clarity. What's all this Elden Ring excitement that's going on right now?
Glad you asked. So it's not much. It's apparently, you know, this community is starved for any little
bit of info.
They're currently hollow, and the game was recently updated with some kind of DLC package. Now, what that exactly means, I don't know. It could just be like they're starting to lay the groundwork for it, which is probably likely, I would say. I can't think it's going to be too much longer before they announce something.
Yeah, so I've seen some, like, there was some company that announced they're doing Elden Ring collectibles, and they said they're going to announce it on a very special date, which is probably, you know, the 3-year anniversary. And then there was some other company that's putting out a book or something. I can't remember, but it's all centered around February, which I know is when a lot of people thought Shadow of the Erd, Steve, was coming.
But, yeah, maybe they're going to announce the DLC on that date.
That would be cool. Mm-hmm. That would be cool. So,
because I still just feel like at this point, February is not going to happen unless we get an announcement real soon.
It would just be so, it's almost too quick now, granted, Elden Ring is one of those once in a lifetime games that was so well adopted and regarded that you could announce a DLC for coming out tomorrow when it would do gangbusters. But it always seems like for something that significant that they would want some promotion time longer than just a month.
Yeah. I mean, a month-ish sounds about right. You know, the community is going to be just insane once they announce that. And my thoughts are that when they announce it, it's going to be close to time. Of course, that's probably just the copium talking.
Yeah, Steve might have had a little copium. He's riding high off of that fucking Cowboys duty stomping.
Hell yeah.
Hey, by the time this episode comes out, will the Packers have played again? They will, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Let's keep our dick skinners crossed.
We'll see. Yeah, they'll have played the fucking 49ers, who are best team in the NFC.
Oh, shit, the 69ers.
So, yeah, it's not... I will say... I don't expect us to have the same amount of success as we did against Dallas. I'll just say that.
Okay. Well, people listening to this right now know, right?
Yeah, we'll see how it ages.
Right now, you should either have one of two mental images in your head. You know that sad Keanu meme? Replace Keanu with Steve.
It's more like Ben Affleck outside.
Oh, yeah, waiting on the Dunkin' Donuts. Or just imagine Steve dancing.
Friday night, Yakuza style.
Uh-huh. Yep. With Jordan Love. Steve and Jordan Love doing the Yakuza Zero dance. Dude, speaking of Yakuza, Mike Pappas dove headfirst into the Yakuza series. And every evening, I either get a quote or get a text close to when I go to bed, or I wake up to text from Mike Pappas. He's like 65, 70 hours into Yakuza currently. Yakuza Zero. He's all in.
Damn.
He said, last night I met up with a lady that I met on a phone sex line, and we went on a date, and it turned out she was real ugly, but we did it anyway. And I said, that's Yakuza, baby. That's Yakuza.
Pappas and Yakuza.
Mm-hmm. Match made in heaven.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know that dude's going to be like, done with the entire series by the time I'm halfway through Infinite Wealth or some shit. He hasn't been playing them that long, and he's already right. That far into Zero.
Yeah, that's a lot of hours put in there. Because, I mean, mm-hmm. I think I put in, it was close to 100 on that.
I think I ended Like a Dragon with 96 hours. Mm. So right at 100.
No, I know I spent at least 15 to 20 hours on the Hostess minigame, though.
Oh my god. Whoa, what a revelation.
I want to, has he done that?
I don't know. He hasn't. So I did stress to him. I was like, buddy, make sure to do the side stuff because that's where some of the real good, the juice is. Oh, and
yeah.
He sent, I can't remember the dude's name, the pervert that's walking around in his underpants, air humping everything.
Yeah.
Mr. What do they call him? Mr. Something.
He wants like
Mr. Pheromone cards. Or something. Yeah. He's been sending me screenshots of that guy. And I'm like, well, he's doing it. Michael Pappas is doing it.
Sure is.
So, buddy. Concept of get good. The if your life depended on it, if some villain from a Liam Neeson head ass movie was holding you hostage and they said, I'll let you go, but you gotta prove your worth by like excelling at a video game, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Now I also want to put in the caveat that
you have some rules.
You can put in like the age at which you were good at these games, you know, if you name an old game that I haven't played in 20 freaking years, I can't be asked to put my life on the line for it. But at right. the time, yeah, I would have, you know what I mean? That's kind of what I mean. And the other thing we decided was that we could go into some mini games with this as well.
Yeah. Like because
within games.
Yeah. Cause games all about these, all kinds of games these days are all about the, you know, the extracurricular activities you can do, especially in the RPG space.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those are standouts and things that really make the game as cool as it is. So what's the first one that comes to your mind, buddy?
So I tried to go as far back in my head as possible. And there was like some kind of Space Invaders clone. I can't think of the name of it that we had for the Atari console, but I can't think of the name. So what I'm going to go with is Dragon's Lair, which was the first, I want to say it was the first one that was like the Bluth inspired.
Yeah. Cartoon well, he graphics. Did the, yeah. He, it was a Laserdisc game. Like,
Laserdisc. Yeah.
It's crazy. The way that arcade worked was there was a Laserdisc player inside of it, bro. That's how that shit worked. It's so crazy. Yep.
And I remember seeing it in an arcade and it was blowing my mind, you know, because those graphics to like a 6-year-old kid.
Yeah.
It's like who's into cartoons, who's not into cartoons when they're that age.
Right.
So eventually the next year I went to school and they had a book fair. And these motherfuckers fucked up and sold a How to Beat Dragon's Lair book.
Oh, my God. Steve walked in with a little change in my pocket going jang-a-lang-a-lang.
Man, and a kid who was mildly obsessive. When I say mildly, I mean majorly obsessive, memorized that whole book.
Oh, bro. Steve, this is him going into the book fair.
That's right. Yep. Slow motion.
Why? Man, I wish my book fairs at my school were that cool. That I don't ever remember seeing a single damn video game related book.
Yeah.
They fucked up though.
They did fuck up because I read that book about 1,500 times and as a result could beat the game on one life, you know what I mean? Like never lost. And so back then this game was such a novelty that anytime it became apparent that somebody knew what they were doing, it would draw huge crowds. So that just fed into my little megalomaniac.
Oh my God, you know? Dude, he's going to do it. I think he's going to do it. And Steve's just there fucking grinning, baby.
Yep. And so there's also a point at the end where you can do the last thing and it enters the end and you don't have to do any more. And so the baller move was to hit that last right direction to the right and then just turn around and walk away while you still had the crowd like,
he
beat it. It must be over. He beat it.
You did.
Oh,
Steve,
yeah.
You did that. You did the mic drop on him with the last input and said, I'm going to go play pinball.
I said, my mom's calling me.
Hey,
we're
going to
go eat some Tony's Pizza.
Gee, Tony's Pizza. Tell me about Tony's Pizza.
Get an Orange Julius
to
wash it all down.
God, bro, an Orange Julius? Get out of here. That's a good... You just wowed an arcade full of neckbeards with your Dragon's Lair skills, and you're going to get Tony's Pizza and an Orange Julius? Jesus Christ, is there a better day? No, is the answer.
Nope. That would have been in Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, which hopefully didn't give me health problems.
Why would it
living
have?
There?
Is it known? Oh, is that place fucked up?
Yeah, there's some things going on where it turned out some people dumped like used laundry detergent into like a drinking water there.
Oh my Lord, Steve.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it gave you superpowers and you just don't
possible.
Know
Super, my, I think I did. I think it did. And my superpower is
Dragon Slayer.
Stomach ulcers.
Stomach ulcers. Yeah. My superpower is that my tummy hurts real bad and I have to be very brave about it. Weird, Steve. We should start a team because you know what? I didn't even grow up in Camp Lejeune and I got the same thing going on. We're like the X-Men of stomach problems. I'm the best at what I do, bub, and what I do is shit my own pants.
I farted and a poopy almost slipped
the
Wolverine, out.
The Weapon X of shitting your own pants at a family dinner because it was just slightly too spicy. So I never had an arcade game that I was super good at. I loved arcades, but I was also like the kid that was like, well, I got to play that and I got to play that and I got to play that. But I would say as far as an old game.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Super Mario 2, the first game I ever beat, the first video game I ever beat, and a game that I would routinely just play to beat as like a warm-up before playing other Nintendo games. You know what I mean?
Nice. Nice.
I am a fool for some Super Mario 2. I love that game. Love
that's a great one. I was honestly shit at that game. I was never good at that one.
You know what the trick is using certain characters on certain levels. Honestly, Peach is kind of the way to go on most of them because of her floaty jump.
Okay.
So that's a little trick for anybody out there who's still struggling with Super Mario 2.
I also like that you can min-max based on the level and the character.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, right. Bro. Yeah. Start off playing as Luigi, then maybe go over to Toad, then Peach. I know where all the warps are. You know that game had that weird system where you would, you know, pull the shit up out of the ground. That whole game was originally not even a Mario game, right? It was a game called Doki Doki Panic that they reskinned as a Mario sequel for the US because they thought the real Mario sequel was too hard. And I'm going to tell you something, Steve. If you've ever played Super Mario, the Lost Levels, they were right. It's too hard.
I think I did fuck around with that one time.
Yeah, like, they ended up putting it out on the SNES eventually.
I don't think that was where I tried it. It might have been later on, like maybe some
emulation. Nesticle.
Kind of deal, maybe something like that. And I couldn't get past like the first 15 seconds of the first level or so.
Yeah, it's real hard. It's real dumb. So
I stopped, yeah.
Real fucking stupid. You know, I was never, like, I loved Punch-Out and still to this day, but I'm not, like, great at Punch-Out.
I think I'm good at it, but I usually start losing around Super Macho Man or Mr. Sandman.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I can't reliably make it to Mike Tyson.
No,
you know?
And I certainly can't reliably beat his ass either.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm not just going to sit here and spout my favorite games for sure, because that was, you know, that's my favorite fucking Nintendo game.
What's another one for you, buddy?
So, another one, I'll stick with arcade here, and this is probably the only other arcade that I can think of, but Killer Instinct, the first one.
Oh.
Like, I couldn't lose at that one.
My man said I could not lose. Undefeated.
Yeah. It was a paper, rock, scissor game. And once you, again, obsessively memorize how everybody's combos work.
Who was your character?
I could use them all.
Oh, he said, just hit random and let's see what happens. What happens? You lose.
You lose. Yeah. I mean, I'm nowhere near this good anymore. But back then, that was my favorite fighting game. That was when I would go to the mall and just spend all day playing that one on weekends as a kid. That was fun for me. Because I was never as good at like Mortal Kombat or even a game like Street Fighter, which I adore and love. Like, there were days when I would have good days with that in the arcade where I would win a few, mm-hmm. but I could never like just sit and win at Street Fighter all day like I could at Killer Instinct.
Steve was a Killer Instinct ringer. Shark. He's sharking, folks.
Top scorer in Orange Park for
a couple years. Oh, he said top score. I heard
SBK,
it.
SBK, baby. Aladdin's Castle, Orange Park Mall. Never beat.
I would say a game series that I could do. Now, I would say certainly when it was a contemporary game series. Now, today I would probably need to warm up and remember some things, but the first three Sonic the Hedgehog games, once again, I could sit down on a weekend and play those three games back to back because, of course, that's the kind of shit I would do, right? And get all the Chaos Emeralds and not die a single time in any three game. Like, I could do a complete no-death run of the Sonic trilogy on the Genesis. I was obsessed with those first three Sonic games, buddy.
I would have watched you do that on Twitch had it existed back
then. Yeah, a little fucking eight-year-old. I was older than eight, but talking about, ooh, I hope I get Dr. Pepper and Pizza Hut tonight.
Right? As kids were capable of, like, crazy shit. Like, you know, I could beat the first couple Mega Man games. I couldn't do that anymore. And I wouldn't even say I'm good at it, but, like, I would just sit there and ram my head into the wall until I got done with it. And plus, with Mega Man, you know, it's always like once you know the correct route to take of beating bosses.
It makes it a lot easier. It makes it easier. Not a lot easier. Because the levels are still hard.
The levels, there's no beating the levels easier.
I remember vividly running into little motherfuckers at school and stuff that'd be like, I can beat any Mega Man game. I know you can't. You cannot. Mm-mm. Shut up.
You're a liar.
What happens at the end? And I'll be honest, the only reason I know because I saw it in Nintendo Power. What happens at the end?
Huh? Anybody who says that about something like Kid Icarus, too, they're lying.
Oh, Kid Icarus. Get out of here with your Kid Icarus. That game is too hard. You know, I don't think I have a fighting game that I could reliably say it about, you know, like even definitely not as a kid, because most of the time as a kid, I was playing against a computer, like at home on console.
How about Smash Brothers?
Because I never played a Smash Brothers until that new one came out, the most recent one. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't even tell you if I'm great at it, Steve, because I kind of just, once again, play the computer and unlock characters. It's fun as fuck. Now, Mario Kart 64, as long as I'm playing anybody but Brad, I think I could probably, you know what I mean? Like, I think I could pull that off.
A weirdly idiot savant at that game.
Yeah, man. Because, Steve, you've seen, like, even in Mario Kart 8, I'm no slouch. I'm good at Mario Kart, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's just a game I know the mechanics of super well. They all, you know, sort of iterate on each other and control so similar to each other that, you know, it's pretty easy to pick up. But Mario Kart 64, definitely the one I've spent the most time with. And I was not holding a candle in the wind to fucking Brad the couple times I played. Go over to his fucking apartment or his loft and the Nintendo 64 is hooked up with the red, white and yellow cords, and I'm like, oh shit, well, I guess Brad's gonna beat me in Mario Kart. And he did.
You guessed right.
And he did.
Yeah, man, that was weird for me too, because we played a lot of Mario 64 as well, but we did the battle mode exclusively. Yeah.
And Brad exclusively does the race mode on one map, the donut.
Yeah.
And I've seen that dude do a continuous drift around the entire donut without missing.
Yeah, if you get him off,
chill
that
out,
map,
Paul
you
Walker.
Might be able to win. Paul Walker. But yeah, man, that was my first time realizing, oh yeah, not everybody likes battle mode. You know,
yeah.
Some people just like to race. But he could do the power sliding.
Oh yeah,
all that
I've seen him do the power slide around the entire one power slide around the entire perimeter of that donut map. Jesus Christ, Michael Jordan of Mario Kart 64.
You could release it at the right time and you'd get the boost.
Oh yeah,
straight away. Yep. You know, you'd get.
He was
all of
lapping
those.
Me.
Yep, he would lap me too. He'd be like, oh. He'd never rub it in, but he would just, you know.
But you could tell.
Uh-huh.
You could look at him and tell. He's proud of himself, as he should be. Fuck me, I guess. This man plays one video game a decade and beats my ass at it. Duty stomps me. You know what I mean?
Speaking of our buddy Brad, there was another game that I was going to bring up called FIFA that he and I got really into for a couple of years.
I remember the FIFA days.
So we were pretty good at Team FIFA, which is a little different than just one-on-one. You know,
right.
I feel like it's a lot easier to score in one-on-one games of FIFA because you have to coordinate so much better with another human, and it's a little difficult, especially when you're trying to feed that person goals because you've scored one or whatever. But we were going to visit our friend Eric, who lived in Memphis, and he was like a buddy of ours who played a lot of FIFA with us, but now he lived out of state. He had this new buddy who he was like, yeah, man, me and Chad we're pretty good at FIFA.
Get out of here, Chad.
And so Brad and I are like, oh, man, we're going to go up there and we're going to play these dudes at FIFA. We have to like,
Y'all didn't train, did you?
I wouldn't say we trained.
You trained.
We, as much as we played about as much FIFA as we normally did back then, which was a lot.
Yeah.
But so I'll never forget, we went up there and we get it going, you know, 2-on-2, a couple guys, we've all had enough, a couple of beers. There's some light shit talking going. We get started. Brad feeds me a pass, cuts them to shreds right away, and I score within like 30 seconds.
Oh, shit.
And my guy is running off doing flips or whatever. And Brad and I are like just high fiving and like woo. And out of the corner of my eye, I see them look at each other with
a little sweat on their upper lip.
Look, yeah. That look where they just look at each other like
it was in this moment they knew they fucked up. Fuck yeah. I love a story like that. Get out of here, Chad. Eric's our friend. Man, I like Eric.
I like Chad too. Chad was cool.
Okay, Chad, you get the pass. I've never even met you, but stop trying to beat Brad and Steve in FIFA. Dick.
They couldn't.
And they didn't.
They didn't.
They couldn't and they didn't. Couldn't? Didn't. I, however, NBA Jam, Tournament Edition, on Genesis or SNES, you pick your poison. I'm walking a free man. You are.
You're deadly.
Deadly, bro. Vladdy Devox in it, Steve.
That's right, man. And those games for sure were. You could be better than somebody. And if you turned off that computer assistance,
yep.
You could beat the shit out of somebody in that game. If you got somebody on fire and then you built like a 50 point lead.
Look at this NBA Jam, Vladdy Devox versus the world. What is this?
Somebody who knows.
Oh my god, this is me, Steve. This is what I'd be doing. Watch. Not that part. Never mind. 9 minutes long. I go right into when some computer pushes Vladdy Devok over and takes the ball. Look at
it. I love that little NBA Jam animation of the steel push or whatever.
And the I'm deadly.
Damn. I love those games so much as a kid, man. Oh, my God.
Why can't they just do a new one or put that old one out on consoles? You know?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sure it's licensing stuff.
A game I played a lot, but I wouldn't say I was ever, like, great at it. Like, Brad stomps me in this, you know?
Oh,
you
thanks.
Would, you
okay.
would kill me
great,
in this.
Great, great. Now I know that Brad is out there, like, the fucking Slender Man in the woods waiting for the day where he could beat my ass and I'll be like, oh, okay, Brad.
Strictly
yeah, sure.
Let me Sega Genesis version. That's it. You can get him on another system. He's
you
yours.
See this spot right here, Steve? What's this spot called? On the floor, on the like, on the court.
It's a corner three.
Yeah. Oh, corner threes in NBA Jam, 100% success rate. 100%. I'd be playing this game, and Vlade Divac would end the season with 8,000 points and shit.
That sounds like me during like the college football glory days.
Oh God!
Which, by the way, we didn't get an announcement.
In that, everybody was fucking convinced, and I even had somebody reach out to me and tell me that they saw a press release about it, about the new NCAA game, and that they thought it was going to be announced during the championship game, mm-hmm. and ain't shit happened.
Nothing, I don't think.
Can I also, now that you said this, I brought that up, I also want to bring up one other thing. I saw the funniest fucking comment on that gaming rumors Reddit, right? Because for the last, you know, 3 or 4 weeks, it's been all about the Insomniac leak stuff.
Yeah.
Well, yesterday I was scrolling and somebody was like, I just heard that Sony's approved a remake of Bloodborne or some shit, right? And like they had this whole post. It didn't seem in any way legitimate. I'm certain if Sony is, if there is something like that in the works, it's been in the works before, you know, super recently. So this guy goes on this whole post about what he's heard about the Bloodborne remake. And then the very first comment under that is, I knew this sub would get back to normal eventually. I was like, oh, that's pretty fucking funny.
Great comment.
What about you, buddy? What's another game that you're super confident in?
Let's see. Okay, so some other games that, oh, yep, Guitar Hero.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm not like on the level of the spectrum of some of these people who can do like the Dragon Force stuff, mm-hmm. you know, at like 200% speed, like while they're not looking at the guitar. Mm-hmm. But like from the minute I took that thing out of the package, like I was good playing guitar and video games combined.
Yeah. Yeah. Like... That'd be like pooping your pants and video games combined for me. I'd be immediately good at it.
If only I could have done that on the toilet as well. Like
you could have made that happen. I mean, you could have.
Toilet Hero?
Yeah. I mean, you just pull a little TV in there and your console and your little plastic guitar and just hammer on and whatever. Hit that little whammy bar. Click, 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 click. This is the song you'd be playing.
I have a bad case of diarrhea. Oof. I have a bad case of diarrhea.
That's the song you'd be playing.
That's a little close to home.
I'll be honest with you. I love Guitar Hero and Rock Band, and I'm way into rhythm games recently because of that Fortnite update and playing on my Oculus 3 headset. Like, buddy, when we get done with this, I'm probably going to go play that fucking drumming VR game. That's how much I like it. It's so fun.
Nice.
But I don't think I'm good enough to, like, put my life on the line for any of those games. Now Halo, I'm pretty good at Halo.
I was hoping you would bring this up.
Yeah. I think Halo for me is probably the only first person shooter I could do this with, you know.
I was thinking myself, like I had some good times with Counter-Strike, but I would never, like back in like 2000, but I would never say that I was like ever good, like super good at it.
Mm-hmm.
Even Halo, which I love, and I feel like I'm okay at Halo.
You're good at Halo.
I feel like you are good at Halo.
Well, listen, I put in some time. I really like Halo. And the one thing I can say about me with Halo is it's kind of across the board. I think probably Halo 3 is the one I'm the best at or have historically been the best at. But I typically can put in the time in any iteration of Halo and sort of get something together, you know.
I mean, I remember when 4 came out and you know, it was the first post Bungie release, and you know, we did the multiplayer for a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And yep. You were really good at it.
Yeah, I started off hot in Halo 4.
And I remember it just, for whatever reason, we didn't just stick to off. Playing that one,
and I was like,
I remember you being super bummed and saying I was really good at that.
I'm pretty good at that one. And then we all stopped playing. Yep. Dead by Daylight.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, I think Dead by Daylight is one of those games that I could confidently say, like, I'm really good at this, and I could save myself in a pinch with my Dead by Daylight skills.
If you were going to be modest at any point tonight, I was going to say both Halo and Dead by Daylight for you, because you're really good at Dead by Daylight, too.
Dead by Daylight is one of those games that I started off so bad at. I think everybody starts so bad at it, but partially because the game is so good, but partially because that was sort of still kind of early on in our weekends hanging out with like Jeff and Nick and stuff, that like just the hang alone, right, made me look forward to Dead by Daylight. And then I ended up being pretty fucking decent at it too.
Yeah. Like, you're the best looper of any of us. You know what I mean?
I would say Jeff might have me a little bit in looping, but I think I make up for it in other ways in the game.
Let me say, I partially agree.
Yeah.
And here's where we differ. It's you're better at actually looping him and you know, timing him and stuff like
that.
And
with a hand banana.
Whereas Jeff is looking to troll that killer.
Oh, yeah. Jeff is the kind of survivor that gets the killer playing on tilt, right?
Like, exactly.
He gets the killers on tilt and then just, you know, gets in their head and won't get out, and they can't do anything about it.
Yeah, he's like, and he's great at that.
Yeah,
like,
well, and
give
he's
that
also
dude
the
any chance to be a troll.
Oh yeah,
and win because of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, also he's the one out of us that every time we've discovered that we have a killer that wants to fuck around a little bit, it's Jeff that's figured it out.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah, it sure is.
Oh, yep. And by the way, when I say Dead by Daylight, I mean Survivor only, because I'm terrible at killer.
We're all terrible at killer. Yeah, I love Dead by Daylight. I think I'm, again, pretty good at it. I was starting to get better at looping there towards
you,
the end.
Oh, because you finally listened to me about Windows of Opportunity. Mm-hmm. I was sitting on my soapbox for like 2 years being like, you guys need to get Windows of Opportunity. It fucking rules.
Standing on your pallets.
Uh-huh. Yep. Listen here!
Hit him with the little ham banana.
Yeah, and you know, had we not gone back to Dead by Daylight last year and I was able to pick it back up as quickly as I did, I might not be as confident in it as I am. But
just got to shake the ring rust off. Although there's probably going to be like 15 killers we haven't seen by the time we jump back in.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Chucky.
So another one that I was really good at would be StarCraft. The first one.
Oh, I wish I had an RTS I could say this about. That's awesome.
Yeah, I definitely took that online and was able to start winning regular matches online. I mean, I was never able to like check a ranking system so much in that game.
Right.
But because I think even back then it had like unranked and ranked. Maybe. Mm-hmm. Does that ring a bell for you?
I can't remember, because I remember playing StarCraft online against folks, but I would have never played ranked if it was an option, because I just was not very good.
Because there was like a map that you could use that was a crutch at first, where basically the minerals that you had on each side were like just packed full of minerals, so you never had to leave your initial base.
Oh, okay.
You just stay there forever. But eventually, you know, that you could only do that in, like, unranked, because it's a custom map kind of deal. So I eventually went to ranked, because I wanted to play, like, somebody who wasn't going to just sit there.
Right.
You know what I mean? I wanted to play the game. And as a result, started developing all these crazy strategies where I still had the reflexes to do, like, the fancy keyboard wizardry.
My God. The hotkeys and shit.
Hotkeying and selecting and deselecting and stuff like that. I could pull off, like, super advanced moves. It was probably the highlight of the 90s for me in terms of a game that I was good at, with the exception of one other one that I'll mention after we get to your next.
All right, my next one. Senran Kagura Bon Appetit, anime titty rhythm cooking game, baby. And I 100%ed it. That's all I'm going to say. That's all you guys need to know. I'm down bad. I fucking wear it as my down bad badge of honor. But you let them start a fucking Bon Appetit fucking tournament, I'm taking the $5 reward for first place out of that.
$5. Yeah. I have questions.
Okay.
Did you play this on PC?
Yes, I did, on my Steam Deck.
You did play it on your Steam Deck?
Yes.
Not on your actual PC?
Mm-mm. No.
Okay. The other question, would you ever stream this game?
I streamed it a little bit on my stream sort of early on, you know, when I was when I first started streaming, something about, I can't remember, there was something weird that happened with the PC version versus the Steam Deck version that I was playing. And I can't remember what it was, but something fucked up with it. I wish I could remember. This is the best character in that game, by the way. Hikage.
Hikage.
She's the best. Is it going to show any gameplay, or is it just the cutscenes? Well, you don't need to see the cutscenes, Steve. You know? I'm trying to get you all fucking horned up.
It looks good already.
Yeah. Yeah. Wait. Well, why aren't you guys... I want to show Steve gameplay. They're putting the important shit up on YouTube.
The reason people play the game.
Yeah. Strangely, you can't play this game one-handed, though. What's your next game, Steve?
All right, man. My next one.
Because I tried.
It's the first Resident Evil.
Ooh. Which, hell yeah.
I was fucking obsessed with when it came out. I bought a PlayStation because of Final Fantasy VII, and in the meantime fell in love with that series as a result of having it. And man, I could definitely do the best ending in under 2 hours or whatever. So you could get like the rocket launcher with unlimited ammo for the new game plus if you wanted to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because you can always beat those games super quick if you know what you're doing. But back then, that was actually kind of interesting. That game is pretty tough, and it's even if you play like the remastered version, it's still kind of...
And half of that game is fighting the controls.
It's tough. You have to learn the controls big time. There are certain things, like certain zombies that you have to burn, you know? Like when you kill them so they don't come back, and you have to like know the ideal ones to do that for. There's like a very specific way of picking up items and going through it and stuff, and I learned all that stuff back in the day. I remember staying up all night in college with my buddies and getting good at that game, so to speak. And we just would play it and just hand off the controller to somebody else and then just sit there and talk them through whatever they're doing, and then vice versa.
So it's definitely not the same thing, but like in a similar way of like just knowing the game back and forward and being able to run through it real quick. The first three Space Quest games. I almost think that if I started that, like those three games today, I could get to the end of them without any problem. Just because those were the only three Space Quest games that would play on my dad's ancient ass Tandy computer. So I played those three all the time. All the time. And could do, you know, like a, you know, a complete run of those without dying, even though, you know. Once you know how to beat one of those games, it's just remembering what to do at that point.
Sure. There were like weird kind of things you would have to time every now and again, though. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like I remember dropping like, that rock on that spider in the first
exactly
one.
That's exactly what I was thinking, was the rock on the spider, yeah. Mm-hmm. Those games are great, man. If you think you could still do that, man, I would watch it on Twitch.
I plan on one day doing some Space Quest and some King Quest on Twitch, for sure.
That'd be sick.
Faux show. Another one for me would be any Yakuza minigame except Batting Cage.
So you're confident in all of them.
Yeah, man. You get me a controller and tell me I got to spare my own life by playing golf or karaoke in Yakuza. It's OV for you. I'm good. I'm getting out of here.
That's what's up. I know for a fact that I could, if we're talking minigames of Yakuza, the Hostess.
Oh, yeah.
Hostess Done. Club. Done. I can definitely hang in that one. I mean, you want to talk about, sure, sex is great and all, but have you ever had a full house in the Hostess tournament?
With bonus
with
time
all
going?
The tables hitting bonus time.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You talking about feeling like, you'd be like, I should maybe open a nightclub. because I think I've found my calling.
Move to Japan and just be like, so...
anybody selling a hostess club for cheap?
We'll be talking to the girls on our first... What time does bonus time start?
Hey,
when do we...
Let me ask you...
Do you need an ashtray?
Let me ask you something. Have you ever met the Dragon of Dojima?
And how about the Mad Dog of Sotenbury?
Hey, yeah. Do you think maybe you could get me in contact with them? Really like to hang out. I get stabbed. Just a random dude in a fancy coat.
Oh, man. That's fantastic. Yeah, I love that. That freaking hostess mini game, man.
Man, it's great.
Other mini games that I really enjoyed were Gwent. I was great at Gwent.
Oh, Gwent. Now, I was good at it. I don't think I could stand up to you or anybody else.
Mm. I mean, there was, to me, there was one deck that had, like, the spies, and that was the most powerful deck in the game. The other ones were fun, and they had their own little unique little things, and but the I can't remember what the name of it, which faction it was, but it's the one that has all the spies, and man, nobody could fuck with me in that game. I'm taking all your cards.
Yeah, I love a mini game, but I love a fucking mini game. Even better if it's a mini game I can be really good at, like wooing the prostitute and like a Dragon Nation.
Oh, the the paper, rock, scissors and the drinking and all that stuff. That's so funny.
Oh, yeah.
My last one that I'll talk about is Sekiro. I had to at least throw one out there for.
I knew this was going to be one of yours.
Yeah, you knew, man. I mean, I tell you all the time. It's like the one when I'm just like, I don't know what to play. I'm just going to play that one. And like, I could probably feel like take out an alien in terms of my skills in that game at this point.
Oh yeah, dude. Like, that's a game that Steve, like, I'll get on Discord and he'll be like, I started a new Sekiro playthrough, and I'll talk to him 2 days later and he'll be like, yeah, I finished it.
Yeah, it's done.
It's done.
It's done.
I can do that with Mass Effect 2 and 3. For sure.
You know, after having played Mass Effect 2 recently, I wish I would have watched you play it more back in the day.
Oh, because you would have been blowing through that bad bitch.
Well, not just that, but I would have liked to, because you did it on like the hard difficulties.
Oh yeah,
I
wouldn't have Insanity.
I would have liked to have seen you do some of that.
It was hard. Now, I'm not saying I could do it on Insanity, but like, you know, hard or normal, all day. I'll get through Mass Effect 2 without a single death. Not a single goddamn death. Not a single goddamn game over screen.
You did beat it on Insanity, though, didn't you?
I beat 2 and 3 on Insanity. And there were times when both of those games made me want to break my already broken Xbox 360.
And those are two... Well, 2 is one of your favorite games of all time.
Yeah, man. There's some... On Insanity, there's some parts on there that are harder than any game I've ever played. And that includes Elden Ring and Demon's Souls. And... The thing about Elden Ring and Demon's Souls is they're hard, but they never feel unfair. Mass Effect 2 on Insanity specifically, there are parts where it just seems unfair. Like, how am I supposed to do this, Mr. Bobby BioWare, huh?
Well, he needs to come back.
Yeah, for real. Please. Please let that next one be good in 2037 or whenever the fuck it's coming out.
I've heard a rumor of a Dragon Age remake.
I saw that too. A new remake of Dragon Age Origins would be pretty exciting, I think.
Yeah, you get on board for that?
Fuck yeah, man. That's a very good game.
It's a series I just never did, man. I played a little bit of one of them.
The first one. I remember. Honestly, though, buddy, I think that might be the end of my pool of games that I'm that good enough at to be that confident in.
You know? Mm-hmm. It's funny how now it's like we play games, we get through with them, and then maybe we go back to them sometimes.
Yeah, well, you know, if you included any number of turn-based Final Fantasy games in this list, that's different, but that's also doesn't seem really fair because the only reason I'm good at them is because I'm the dude that'll spend the time grinding for hours and be super over leveled.
The grinder.
I was reading up on the job system in Like a Dragon, right? And I was trying to figure out, you know, oh, what job is best for what character? And I came across this thread where someone was like, I don't know how I'm supposed to beat this game. I'm in the last dungeon heading towards the last boss, and I just keep dying. I can't do it. And it made me anxious. And I had no reason to be, because I was like 40 levels higher than the last boss by the time I got to him. So
that tracks, mm-hmm. my man.
Yep. Makes a lot of sense.
You're a grinder.
Mm-hmm. Ain't, yep. yep. What, that real nasty grinder that's all gummed up with weed bits, you know?
Yeah.
No matter how much you tap that, I was going to make the noise, but it's upstairs.
So is when this one comes out, will this be the week that I'm coming down there?
Yes. So this comes out on Monday. You'll be here the Thursday after, right?
Sick. Yep. So the next one we release will be in a live
person.
One?
In person. Yep. Our first in person in like almost 2 years.
That's so ballin'.
I know. I can't wait.
Very excited, man.
Yep. Let's hope Steve shows up in just a effervescent mood because of the Packers duty stomping the who?
The 49ers.
Fuck, and don't you, worry about 49ers. It. You 69ers. Got them. Steve's going to be walking into the book fair.
That's right.
You know what you guys should do? You know what's even better than going into a book fair and finding a video game book is leaving us a goddamn review. All right? You know, listen, did you hear how quickly we got an episode together so you guys could have an episode on Monday the 15th? Huh?
The pivot was just
incredible.
It's good.
Yeah, man. Will came in and like there was an opening in the pocket and Will came in and took the hit. So Steve could get the pass off.
Will's the man. Yeah, man. He's the man. He's a great podcaster, and so are you. And the chemistry you two have is just on another level.
As soon as you were like, hey, you know, this is going on, I was like, well, I could probably talk to Will for another hour about Fortnite. Let's do that.
Yeah, do that.
All right, guys. So leave us a review. Look forward to the next couple of episodes because we have a pretty fun concept in mind for when our buddies are all hanging out and recording in person. So keep your ears open, whatever the fuck. We'll see you next week.
Bye.